ever found yourself giving out to the kids only to later think, good grief, I sounded just like my mum and dad? Now, that might be such a bad thing if you had good examples of parents growing up, but if you're discovering yourself going down a negative path of parenting, rest assured, you're not alone. Stay tuned, because this program is especially for you. Here's Rob Parsons of Care for the Family.
I mean, I've got two kids, and Kate was the first. She was really compliant, but Lloyd came into the world, you know, desperate to drive his mother crazy, and managed it almost every day of his young life. And the challenge was not to try to make Lloyd fit in a mold that was Katie. One size doesn't fit all, and so often I think we try and put our kids in a mold that, well, just doesn't fit them. And sometimes our testing kids, the kids that don't fit the mold, are so used to hearing their parents' criticism, they never hear their parents say, when you did that, I was proud of you. And I think God was proud of you. We all need some encouragement like that.
If you're a parent, grandparent, or childminder of any sort, no doubt you can relate that kids' personalities and bents vary greatly from one child to the next, and how we parent each of them can be a real challenge. I'm Vincent Hughes, and you're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. This is the second in our five-part series called Bringing Up Kids Without Tearing Them Down, based on the book by Dr. Kevin Lehman. In our first programme, Stephen Cardy, Heather Walsh and myself began looking at this very important topic. Stephen, why don't we begin today with just a brief overview?
The idea that we discussed was around the issue of ensuring that in raising our children, we give them a good image of themselves. They end up with a good self-image and feeling a sense of worth because we value them. And some specific steps that we can take in order to make sure that happens in sort of our daily living as a family. If that happens in a family, then we're heading in the right direction in terms of raising healthy kids. And that's what this whole series is about, is to help parents raise healthy children.
Oh no, I told myself I'd never do that to my kids. And of course, the heading is how you are parented is how you will be a parent. True?
Well, maybe, I'm sure at some stage, Vincent, when you've been dealing with your children, you've heard yourself say something and said to yourself, oh my word, I sound just like my father or my mother or something like that. I know I've done it. And I guess our listeners can identify with that. And the reality, I suppose, is that along with all the other things we learned as we were growing up, we learned what it is to be parented. Whether you were parented well or not well or whatever, you still learned a style of parenting. And until you become a parent, you don't really realise that you've kind of, what's the word, imbibed that, I suppose, from your parents. And we all say, well, I'll never do that. Like the thing, I told myself I'd never do that to my kids. And yet we find ourselves sometimes doing just that. And today we want to look at that a little bit. All parenting styles really boil down to how do you use your parental authority. As parents, we do have authority. Parent means source or guardian or protector. So there is an element of authority about being a parent. And the question is really, how do you use that authority? Do you use it in a nurturing way or are you destructive with it? So is your style constructive or destructive? And it's not enough to say, well, that's all I know. That's how I was parented. You know, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. If you feel that you weren't parented well, it's not good enough to say, well, that's all I know. Nobody's taught me how to parent. This can help you. This can help you to change. The good news is that it is possible to change. Although a lot of what we do is innate and inbred in us through our own upbringing, it can change. And I think that's the thing we want to talk about today.
Okay, so we're going to take a look at the different styles of parenting.
Sure. I mean, there are great things about the way most of us have been parented by our own parents, Vincent, which we want to draw strength from.
Sure.
But there are also things that we say, well, there are things, you know, that I would like to do differently. You're now married to somebody different than your husband or your wife who isn't like your mother or your father. So there's a mix there that's different anyway by its very nature. And what we will do during the course of these conversations is to enable parents to look at what is the best that they can do in order to raise great and healthy kids. And in the negative parenting styles, there are two types of parenting that are negative. There's the authoritarian, autocratic, dictatorial type parenting, and there's a permissive parenting style, which on the other side of the spectrum is very permissive and allows anything will go. And in a sense, you love them at all costs, but you know that you have no boundaries and they feel insecure as well. So we're going to look at those two.
They're the extremes.
Yeah, they're the two extremes, and in a sense, they lead to ineffective parenting for different reasons, which we'll talk about today. And we'll also be getting to the point that constructive parenting, there are things that we can do, and we're going to talk about those in the course of this program.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the first one, authoritarian parents.
Well, in the case of the autocratic, dictatorial parent, that particular parenting style is ineffective because either you force yourself on the child and the parent takes charge and can be like a bully and can be suppressing the natural growth and development of the child and can produce in a child compliance, which is short-lived in terms of the lifespan of that person. And a person who's raised by an authoritarian parent will, at the end of the day, they'll either be pushing against it all their life and be in constant struggles with the authoritarian parent who'll be suppressing them and telling them to be quiet. And I mean, in an authoritarian world, you're not allowed to voice your opinion. You do what you're told. I set the rules and my word is law, etc. That sort of parenting works on the face of it and certainly will work with a young child. But when you get into the tween years and into the teenage years, you get pushback and eventually that child may well become rebellious.
Yeah.
Or, on the other hand, the child may never actually develop. They may never become beautiful and brilliant and totally different maybe than the parent.
Disastrous.
No, they become crushed and just, you know, they just learn to do what everybody else says and have no real individual thought or feelings about anything because they've been brought up, being told what to do all the time and how to do it. So someone else can think for you. Why bother to think for yourself? So it can be very damaging.
That's damaging, yes.
Very damaging.
That style of parenting must surely breed fear.
Well, it does. And I think the parent that sways between that and the permissiveness is possibly the worst of all aspects, because you then have a child who doesn't really know at what point parent is going to become authoritarian and at what point they're going to say, oh sure, it's grand, whatever, you know. And that there is, that does happen, and it leaves children with either boundaries that are so weak that they don't matter or really not knowing at all where the boundary is, and it can be very, very damaging.
Okay, so there is obviously a necessity for authoritarianism to a degree.
Well, there's a necessity to have some authority in the home.
Yes.
But that's not the same as being authoritarian and demanding that, you know, you do this, this and this when I say at this time and that time and in this way. Having some authority is very different. And we do need parents to have some authority in the home. Otherwise, you have anarchy, I'd suggest, especially if there's more than one or two kids. So I think, you know, you need to have some authority. But it doesn't have to come across that everything that, you know, has to be prescribed by mum and dad. Children do have a voice and they need to have a voice in their family if they're to have a voice in the world.
Okay.
The family is their first little place where they can test out their ideas, their thoughts and their feelings in a safe way. If that's shut down and they're not allowed to do that, it makes it harder for them to be able to do that anywhere else.
Bringing up kids without tearing them down. That's the name of the series and you're listening to family.ie. When we continue, we'll talk more about finding the balance between the extremes. While we all no doubt can point to bad examples of authoritarian parenting, the other extreme is also damaging, permissive parenting. We need to take just a brief time out now, but please don't forget that we'd love to hear from you as well. We want you to know that you can now text us. Our text comment line is 086-251-6886. That's 086-251-6886. And if you have any thoughts, stories or questions about this series for which you need a reply, feel free to email us anytime. info@family.ie. That's info@family.ie. Welcome once again to family.ie. You don't have to know much about automobiles to know that underinflated tyres are detrimental to a car's performance, but overinflated tyres are dangerous as well. I suppose it could be said that kids need the balance that we as parents and grandparents are designed to provide them. And that doesn't mean putting no pressure on them at all and being permissive. But Heather and Stephen, as we began discussing before the break, neither does it mean giving them too much pressure and being authoritarian.
Yeah, I mean, just think about this, Vincent, and it's been in the news in recent months about the issue of adopting. And one of the overriding principles that is held in high regard by those who are considered suitable for adopting is they have to take into account that the interests of the child are the most important interests to be borne in mind. And parents who are raising children need to think of that way about their children, because they didn't have to adopt them, they had them. You know, they don't have to subscribe to putting the interests of the child first to anybody, because in a sense they're almost a law unto themselves with their own home. But responsible parenting will cause parents to think that the needs of the child and the development of that child to be the unique person who they are is the most important thing that I can do. Now, with authoritarian parents who have a mindset that thinks, I'm right, I'm in charge, I set the rules, you do what I tell you, they crush the person. And the result of that is to do harm, like you've said. And that is not good for a child, because ultimately, if you've got a strong-willed child, they're waiting to get even. You know, they might have to comply with the rules till, you know, they leave home. But what happens when they leave home then is a different story. They're no longer compliant. They're no longer behaving as the parent thought, in inverted commas, they would turn out, because they were never really developing that child to be the unique person who they were. So parents, if they're drawing out the best and the uniqueness that's in their child, they will not be authoritarian about it. They will give the child space, allow their child to grow.
Okay, then, at the opposite end of the spectrum, we have the permissive parenting. As it says here, love gone to seed. Mm-hmm. That's to be avoided at all costs as well.
We'll take an extreme, Vincent, in order to describe this so that listeners can understand what we're saying. What is described in some thinking today has been that you love your child at all costs. So you give them basically everything that they want, and that by loving them, what you're doing is pandering to all their wishes, their desires, and so on. Children are children. Children want more. They want all the freedoms that they can possibly get so that they can explore. Now, parents have a responsibility to think about the development of the child and the development of disciplines and responsibility and thoughtfulness about others, etc., which doesn't naturally come to a child, because a child is a child.
Yeah.
And a parent has got to raise a sensible, responsible child over the course of their lifetime. And a lot of what is said, if you like, into the grain of the person, like there is a grain in wood, is set early in the life of the child. So if a parent always protects and shields their child from any injury, ever getting hurt, any never making a mistake and so on, and never allows them, as Dr. Kevin Lehman would say later in this series, to make mistakes and to fail and to learn from their failures and to recover and to get on and to be strong afterwards, the child gets mollycoddled and they don't realise what life is about. And they don't get a realistic picture of what life is about.
Absolutely. And it also gives the child the message. A child who doesn't have any boundaries or any limits set gets the message that says it's all about me. Whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
And you'll hear parents say, sure, he, you know, whatever he wants to do, sure, that's grand, you know. Mm. And I've heard parents say, what would you like for dinner tonight, dear, to their six-year-old? And I'm thinking, why would you ask a six-year-old what they want for dinner? You serve up dinner and that's what they get. So all of that kind of what Stephen has nicely called mollycoddling is actually very damaging for the child, because there is going to come a time when that child has to go out into the world, which is actually not interested in him or her at all, and certainly isn't going to set everything up the way they want it to be set up. And that will cause huge anger and resentment in a young person when they suddenly discover, hey, it's not all about me after all. So we don't do our children any favours when we get to this permissive way of bringing up children. And there was kind of a fashion, I suppose, about maybe 20 years ago for, oh, sure, you know, they have to learn to experience whatever they want to experience. Maybe they want to experience kind of hanging out of the top rail of the stairs and seeing what that's like. Well, that's fine, but if they fall, they'll kill themselves.
Yeah.
So it's really not in anybody's interest to go down this road of total permissiveness.
Well, permissive parenting then is, it's a relinquishing of parental control, isn't it?
It is, and I think that's a very good way to put it. It's a relinquishing of parental control, and it's a kind of abdicating from the responsibility of being a parent. Having said that, I'm very conscious we're using kind of labels here. And, you know, if you're listening in, I don't think, oh gosh, I'm a permissive parent, and label yourself like that, or I'm an authoritarian parent. We don't want labels. It's not about people are those people. It's people using those styles of parenting. You're probably a great parent, but maybe there's parts of your parenting that you need to just think a little bit about how you do that, or how I do this, that or the other. And if we can not label ourselves and beat ourselves up over it, but learn that these techniques, these styles are not helpful, we'll be able to find the balance of the good things we do using the good bits and, you know, shoveling out the horrible bits. It's like anything. You take what's good and you get rid of what's bad.
It's not a responsible parent who overindulges, if you like, the child so that they become totally self-centred. And what we're going to talk about is helping parents to think, how can they be better responsible parents rather than, let's say, indulging their child?
Okay, well, just getting back then to the whole idea of a child's self-image, mm-hmm. and how important it is that a child has a positive self-image. Both of these extremes, authoritarianism and permissiveness, they destroy a child's self-image.
They do. The authoritarian doesn't allow the child to develop to become who they're intended and designed by God to be. And the permissive parent allows the thing to grow out of all proportions so they don't become a well-trained and a well-tutored individual who thinks not only of themselves but thinks of others as well. So that it doesn't help the child if we are irresponsible in our parenting. The likelihood also, Vincent, just going back to our family home that we grew up in and the way we were parented as a child, is that that plays a big part in terms of how we parent our own children.
Sure.
So what we do as a parent is very often fashioned by the way we were parented ourselves, by our own dad or our own mother or significant adults who were in our world who influenced us to become the sort of person we are. And what happens to us is that we end up being parents at some stage in our lives. We have children. We haven't thought about our parenting style. And then we find, as we embark upon the journey of parenting and we're raising children, we find ourselves doing things that our parents did. Some of those things are commendable. Other things we say, better not. that's not what I want to do.
No.
So, you know, in terms of understanding, maybe for somebody who's saying, is there something I'd like to change in the way in which I'm parenting? If I'm too authoritarian, that can lead to rebellion. If I'm too permissive because I don't provide safe guidelines and raise a responsible child, that also leads to rebellion. We want to help parents to become responsible parents so they raise responsible children.
So sometimes, I suppose, depending on how we were parented, we need to do what does not come naturally to us. Maybe the example your parents set for you was either authoritarian or permissive, and you found yourself now as a parent either imitating your parents' style or going to the opposite extreme. This is family.ie, and after this quick break, we'll consider the big question, can we change? By the way, our series is based on one of the many books by Dr. Kevin Lehman, and you can find his resources on our website, family.ie. That's www.family.ie. There's more to come right after this. You're listening to family.ie, and we're in the midst of our series called Bringing Up Kids Without Tearing Them Down. So far today, Stephen and Heather, we've highlighted some of the issues behind why we may find ourselves either imitating the way we were parented or doing just the opposite, both to the detriment of our child's development. But now the real question, can we change?
We certainly can. And we need to change, and we need to be constantly changing, and we need to be in a flow, an ebb and flow with our children, responding rather than reacting, rather than the emotional response of just, you know, immediately seeing the situation and reacting to it. We want to stop, think for a moment, and respond to the child's need in the situation, whatever it is. We can change. You will be able to change easier if you begin to understand a little bit about yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's probably good to do some self-reflection. Stop and think about your family. What kind of a family did you grow up in? Where were you placed in the family?
Yes.
What was the atmosphere like in your home? Is that what you want? You can't do anything about where you were placed in the family, but sometimes it helps to understand that a little bit. But you certainly can do something about the atmosphere in your home. Mm-hmm. And if it's not the kind of atmosphere that you like in your home, then you have a responsibility to yourself and your husband to actually try and change that and to consciously make an effort to do something about that. But I just want to say that although you can be tempted to go back to just do what your parents did, because it's the easiest option, it's just all I know, it's never going to be satisfying or fulfilling for you as a parent to just parent in that way. You have to put your own stamp on it. And your children are given to you as a gift from God. They're children for us to raise just for a short period of time. And we need to just really treasure them and put ourselves out enough to bring them up to be, as Stephen describes them, as magnificent children. I love that. Magnificent people. I hope my children, they are magnificent. But it's, you know, the Lord can give us the strength and the courage to do that, to change.
Okay, so it's all about breaking the mould. We can't be rigid. We have to be flexible.
We do.
We have to move with the circumstances, and we have to be able to, I think, dance on our toes.
Just think of life being organic rather than mechanical, you know, that it's developing as we go along.
Yes.
And we've got unique individuals. If you have one or two children or more, you know, life becomes more diverse and more complex, if you like, the more people that are added into the family. But if the family home is a nurturing place, if it's a developmental place where we recognise and work together to be the best that we possibly can be within our own fields, well, then we create a great home, a great atmosphere in which there's trust, mutual respect, you know, love for one another, development of talents and gifts and competencies and so on. That is brilliant, as opposed to an atmosphere where things are rigid under the authoritarian parent, or cold and indifferent, or a totally free sort of situation with no boundaries, where everybody's a man for himself and everybody's to be selfish. That's not a great environment to grow up in. So what Dr. Lehman is saying is that responsible parenting helps parents to think about the way they parent, and are they creating a home with a great atmosphere? And so you can choose to create a world in which your children are growing up which is helpful to them and will help them to leave that home in your future years when they become an adult, full of self-confidence, for good reason, because they've proven to themselves and to others that they're competent in areas that they're gifted in, and their talents have been developed in those areas, and parents have been responsible and raised great kids to become great adults.
So that is the good news coming out of today's programme, that no matter what category you fall into with regards to your parenting, you can choose a better situation.
You can. And we hear an awful lot about dysfunctional families at the moment. It's on everybody's tongue, dysfunctional families. Oh, I came from a dysfunctional family, you hear. And that's an excuse. Well, lots of people came from dysfunctional families. The good news is that Dr. Lehman talks about how we can become functional families, how we can be parents who are firm but fair, in loving authority over our children, in control but not controlling, and with flexible rules, not rigid ones. And I think that's a very healthy message for parents. If we could get a grasp of that, we would have functioning families.
We're going to look at the issues that make for an effective family, a functioning family, one that thrives. What are the things that a parent needs to do in order to have a family in which the people who are in that family can have a great life together, can be a great team, can bring out the best in the children that are in their home and raise them to be responsible adults.
So that's next week right here on family.ie. This has been part two of our five-part series based on the book by Dr. Kevin Lehman called Bringing Up Kids Without Tearing Them Down: How to Raise Confident, Successful Children. We'd love to hear your comments on the series so far. Don't forget our brand new text comment line is open, and during business hours you can text 086-251-6886. That's 086-251-6886. And it's not only for those of us who are working at bringing up kids without tearing them down. We hope you find our website a treasure chest of helpful information for every member of the family. So stop by for 10 tips for getting out of debt, this week's marriage tip, and the plugged-in movie review, www.family.ie. And while you're there, make sure you can see how you can also follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. Again, that address, family.ie. So until next time, on behalf of Stephen Cardy and Heather Walsh, Femi Darash, Aaron Am Kena, on Shachtan Shahugging, Akadishin, Gudeshiv Slan, Slan Akas Banach Liv Guler. I'm Vincent Hughes. Thank you for listening to family.ie.